is the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program, the triumph of Christianity. The hope for the future of the human family is as bright as the promises of God's Word. After more than 19 centuries of Christian effort, you know that the world is not converted to Christ, and there is not universal peace on earth, nor is there goodwill among men. These are facts which all Christians must face. I have some questions to ask you upon this subject, but first, this program is brought to our listeners by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn, the Frank and Ernest magazine, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, my first question, Frank, has Christianity failed?
Russell, the question, has Christianity failed, is certainly one of fundamental importance. But before I answer, I would like to read one of the Lord's promises recorded by the prophet Isaiah. It reads, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That is certainly a very reassuring promise, isn't it, Russell?
Yes, it is, Frank, and it is one of my favorite texts of Scripture. And I think it should be taken into consideration with the question, has Christianity failed? If the Word of God does not return to him without accomplishing its intended purpose, and the preaching of the gospel has seemingly not done this, then we are left with a contradiction on our hands, are we not?
It does seem so, but Russell, I think the first part of that text may furnish the clue to our difficulty, for it says that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts.
You mean, I presume, that there is a possibility we may not have God's viewpoint as to what Christianity was intended to accomplish in the world?
Yes, as we know, it has been the understanding of nearly all professed Christians that beginning with Pentecost, the gospel has been preached among the nations to bring about world conversion. Now, if the preaching of God's word always accomplishes that which he pleases, then the divine purpose of preaching the gospel during this present age could not have been the conversion of the world because the world has not been converted.
Yes, I get your point, Frank. However, if, as the prophet Isaiah so clearly states, God's ways are higher than our ways, has the Bible foretold this apparent failure of Christianity?
Yes, it has. Jesus himself, in referring to the present time, that is, the end of the age, said, "When the Lord comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" The hundreds of divisions among the churches were also foretold. The Apostle Paul forecast that there would be a great falling away from the true faith, and this also has been has most certainly occurred.
I certainly agree with you. But Frank, is it not true that Jesus commanded his disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel and to make disciples of all nations?
That is very true, Russell, but Jesus did not say that obedience to his command would result in the conversion of all nations. It has made disciples from among all nations, just as he said. The divine purpose in this was clearly stated by James in Acts, the 15th chapter, in the 14th verse, where he reports the Apostle Peter as saying that God, at the first, did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, not to convert them all.
But, Frank, what is meant by the expression, a people for his name, to be taken out from the Gentiles?
Why, that's just another way of saying that those who would be separated from the world through the instrumentality of the gospel would be taken into the family of God to become his sons, as the Bible puts it.
Frank, you mean the ones called to be Christians are the only children of God?
Yes, but he adds that this is conditional upon our suffering and dying with Christ. And he also says that if we do suffer and die with Christ, we shall also live and reign with him.
And it will be the purpose of Christ's reign to convert the world, and then his kingdom will establish peace and goodwill in the earth for the benefit of the whole family of man.
That's right. So you see, as we noted in the beginning, God's ways are indeed much higher than our ways. God has made some wonderful promises concerning peace on earth, beating swords into plowshares, and so forth. We all know that these promises are in the Bible, but generally speaking, they are thought of merely as beautiful poetic expressions which never have been nor can be realized in human experience. But if there is to be a glorious triumph of Christianity in the thousand-year reign of Christ, then these promises of God will actually come true.
I like that expression that you just made, the glorious triumph of Christianity. It has a ring of hope in it that I like very much.
Well, for the most part, we think of Christianity as an ideology of peace and goodwill, but actually, in the glorious triumph of Christianity during the thousand years of Christ's reign, not only will peace be established in the earth, but the acceptance of Christ and obedience to the laws of his kingdom will result in health and lasting life. For God has promised that he will swallow up death in victory.
What about those who have died? Will they lose the opportunity to receive the blessings of the kingdom?
Oh, not at all, Russell, for God has also promised to awaken all from the sleep of death that they, too, may share in the opportunities of Christ's kingdom. The true church class, the people for his name, will be awakened in what the Bible describes as the first resurrection, that they might live and reign with Christ. They will be exalted to spiritual life, whereas humanity in general will be restored to life on the earth.
Thank you, Frank. It is nice to feel that real Christianity has not failed, that the divine plan will be successfully accomplished, and to know that Christianity will triumph in Christ's kingdom.
Well, nothing could be more encouraging. And, Russell, there's an entire chapter in the little book, God and Reason, dealing with what we have been discussing. Will you tell our listeners about the book God and Reason and how they may obtain a copy free?
That will be a pleasure, Frank. Friends, God and Reason contains a wonderful message, and I invite you to send for a copy. Here are some of the questions you will find answered. For centuries, Christians have been praying for God's will to be done in earth as it is now done in heaven. Will that prayer ever be answered? If so, how and when? Another question, where are the dead? Will we ever see them again? What is the end of the world as foretold in the Bible? And how will it affect you as an individual and me? How do we know that the earth will never be destroyed? Do you know that modern inventions and rapid means of travel and communication are in fulfillment of prophecy? Do you know that airplanes and railroads were once called inventions of the devil? Do you know that the gathering of the nations for self-protection is foretold in the Bible? These few questions will give you an idea of the wide scope of subject matter you will find clearly and interestingly presented in God and Reason. And it is yours just for the asking. Just send a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City, and ask for God and Reason. And I repeat the address for your convenience. Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for God and Reason, and it will be mailed to you free without any obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN. To receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.